From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 92 and verse 4. Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. Do you believe that your sins are forgiven and that Christ has made a full atonement for them? Then what a joyful Christian you ought to be! How you should live above the common trials and troubles of the world! Since sin is forgiven, can it matter what happens to you now? Luther said, Smite, Lord, smite, for my sin is forgiven. If thou hast but forgiven me, smite as hard as thou wilt. And in a similar spirit you may say, Send sickness, poverty, losses, crosses, persecution, what thou wilt, thou hast forgiven me, and my soul is glad. Christian, if thou art thus saved, whilst thou art glad, be grateful and loving. Cling to that cross which took thy sin away. Serve thou him who served thee. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let not your zeal evaporate in some little song. Show your love in expressive tokens. Love the brethren of him who loved you. If there be a Mephibosheth anywhere who is lame or halt, help him for Jonathan's sake. If there be a poor tried believer, weep with him and bear his cross for the sake of him who wept for thee and carried thy sins. Since thou art thus forgiven freely for Christ's sake, go and tell to others the joyful news of pardoning mercy. Be not contented with this unspeakable blessing for thyself alone, but publish abroad the story of the cross. Holy gladness and holy boldness will make you a good preacher, and all the world will be a pulpit for you to preach in. Cheerful holiness is the most forcible of sermons, but the Lord must give it to you. Seek it this morning before you go into the world. When it is the Lord's work in which we rejoice, we need not be afraid of being too glad.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. Faith and duty, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life, beautiful will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. Paid the debt and made me free.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Having dealt with the permanence and the spirituality of the law of God, Dr. Cairns now comes to the curse of the law. The text for the message is found in Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will seek to bring sinners face to face with the terrible consequences of ignoring and breaking God's law. Now to bring the opening portion of The Curse of the Law, here is Dr. Cairns.
We come to the fourth in a series of studies on the law of God. And I want us to direct your attention to the words of verse 10 of Galatians chapter 3. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. There's an awful majesty about the law of God. I'm going to make three very simple statements. I trust you'll think of them, ponder them very deeply, because though they're very easily made, they are statements that show us what the law of God is all about. The law is a transcript of the nature of the God who gave it. It not only states what God wills, but it reveals what God is. The law is a transcript of the very nature of the God who gave it. And the law is the voice of heaven's authority to man on earth. It is the voice of God to man. It comes as the voice of a sovereign, as the word of the King of Kings, as the imperial declaration of right and wrong from God to his creatures. And then the law is the rule and the standard by which God now judges men, and by which God will judge men at the end of the age. When you put those three things together, you will understand why I say that there is an awful, and I use the word in its proper meaning, that which inspires awe. There is an awful majesty about the law of God. Understood in its spiritual fullness, God's law is a terrifying thing to sinners. But men by nature refuse to consider the spiritual fullness of the law, in the mistaken belief that God's holiness will not be too hard on their sinfulness. Sinners have lost all true sense of sin and of need. And thus, they proudly try to obtain eternal life by the works of the law. They try to make themselves acceptable to God by offering to him something that they do. When they do this, they are obviously saying they don't know God's law. They don't understand the inner fullness and spiritual meaning of God's law. They don't understand anything of the nature of the God who gave that law. And they don't begin to understand anything of their own corruption, their own depravity, and their own wickedness. And in that ignorance, sinners by nature always proceed to some attempt to justify themselves by what they can do. That's the deadly error that the Apostle Paul is combating here in the words of Galatians 3 and verse 10. He quotes from the book of Deuteronomy 27, verse 26, and says, "Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." It's interesting that in Deuteronomy 27, that is the last of a long list of 12 curses. Read that chapter in Deuteronomy, and again and again and again, the Holy Ghost says, "Cursed be the man, cursed be he, cursed be he, cursed be he." And then he reaches this great climax. And in the words of Paul, he says, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in everything that is written in the book of the law to do every single part of it." Tonight, I want us to think of this great subject that the apostle here raises, the subject of the curse of the law. The curse of the law. Let me state first and very simply that the law exposes sin for what it really is. That's clear in the text. Because of the law, all sinners stand unmasked. Because of the law, sin stands in its true colors. It appears to man once the law comes home to their heart, exactly as it appears to God. No smugness, no self-righteous Phariseeism can possibly withstand the conviction and the penetration of the law of God. Take the case of the man who wrote these words in Galatians 3, when he was known as Saul of Tarsus. Looking back in those days, this is what Paul wrote, Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 8, toward the end of that verse. "Without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once." Now let me explain as I go along here in very simple terms. Without the law, he says, sin was dead. That is, sin lay there. It was nothing to take notice of. It was nothing that perturbed me. It was not stirred up to accuse me. Sin was dead. I was alive without the law. That's how I looked in myself. Perfectly at home with myself. Perfectly accepting of myself. By the way, let that be, and I haven't time to go into this, it's just a shot across the bows, as it were, but let that be a warning against all the philosophies and psychologies of this age that tell you the key to life is feeling good about yourself. There was no man ever felt better about himself than Saul of Tarsus in his unconverted state. But he was within a heartbeat of hell. He said, "I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death." In other words, before the conviction of the law, sin was unrecognized for what it really was. Oh, I have no doubt Saul of Tarsus would have said, "Yes, I am a sinner." I mean, he wasn't such a heretical fool as to deny that he was a sinner at all. But saying that with the lips and feeling it with the heart are two very different things. He would have said with the lips, "Oh yes, I'm a sinner." But in his heart, he was quite at home with himself. He was a man at ease with who and what he was. He was proud of his righteousness. He was not as other men are. He was better than other men. And I have to say, by the standards of men, that was an absolutely true judgment. So here's a man, unafraid of the judgment of God, never trembling at the holiness of God, never skipping a heartbeat at the thought of meeting God. You see, the law had not come home to his heart. He knew the words of the law. He had learned even the number of the letters that made up the words of the law. He knew everything technically about the Decalogue. But the law had never come to his heart until one day God took that law and he used it as he had never done before in the heart and life and conscience of Saul of Tarsus. And the man who had been at ease, proud of his righteousness and unafraid of judgment, found that the law shattered his pride. It made him tremble with fear at the holiness of God. It made him tremble with fear at the thought of death and judgment. He felt himself naked as he stood, condemned before God by the standard of his law. For the first time in his life, Saul of Tarsus felt the curse of the law. Now he saw his sin the way God saw his sin. Let that sink in. That, my friend, is the first exercise of God's grace when he moves for the conversion of a soul. Men do not sue for mercy because they do not see their sin. They may say with their lips, "Oh yes, I'm a sinner." But they do not see their sin as God sees it. At ease with themselves, proudly making their way through life, they have no fear of God. They have no fear of death. They have no fear of eternity. They have no fear of hell. Common thing for people to believe, "God must let me into heaven." When people think that way, they're simply saying, like Paul, "I was alive." Only in their case, they are saying, "I am alive without the law. The commandment has never reached my heart. I have never been brought to see sin as God sees it." When God did that in the life of Saul of Tarsus, he taught him a lesson that Paul never forgot. You take the writings of this great apostle and see how he deals with this subject. He writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56, "The sting of death is sin." What is it that makes death such a terrible thing? It is sin. If there were no sin, death, first of all, would not exist. But even if it did exist, it would have no terror. And the strength of sin is the law. Writing to the Romans in 8:2, he said, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus." Now let me just cut through an awful lot of difficult stuff and say, that is a description of the ministry of the gospel. So, the ministry of the Spirit through the gospel has made me free from the law of sin and death. What a description for the law of God. What is Paul talking about? He's talking about the moral law of God. How does he describe it? The strength of sin. That's how he describes it. He describes this holy law of God as the law of sin and death. Now that raises a question. How can Paul write in Romans 7, "The law is holy, the law is just, the law is good," and then call it the law of sin? How can he do that? Well, the answer is very simple. That the law of God stands related to sin very closely. Something like cause and effect. Listen to the testimony of Scripture. 1 John 3, verse 4. Sin is the transgression of the law. Romans 4, verse 15. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Chapter 5 and verse 13 in Romans. Sin is not imputed where there is no law. Now notice what Paul is saying. It is the law that makes sin, sin. If there were no law, there couldn't be any sin. Wouldn't matter what you did, it would not be sin. Because what gives sin its moral character is the existence of the law of God. It is the law that makes sin sinful. It is the law that reveals the true viciousness of sin. It is the law that shows sin to be what it truly is, a rejection of the holiness of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.